place in 2 Timothy 1 and 5. He said, I found in the unseen faith that first dwelled in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it's in thee also. You've got the same faith. You live the same lifestyle, the holy lifestyle that grandmother Lois lived, that mama Eunice now lives, and now you're the epitomization of that faith in that pureness and holiness that was manifested through your grandmama and your mother. Praise God. I tell you right now, that was some fella. He wasn't the only one. There was a fella back, way back there, I was talking about this morning, Joseph, sold as a slave, around 16 or 17 years old. Sold as a slave from his father's house to the Ishmael traders, taken into Egypt. He remained faithful and loyal, even though Potiphar's wife tried to bring him down to the level of an ordinary man and taking advantage of an ordinary circumstance that was presented to him. I believe that woman was a good-looking woman, too. I believe she was a charmer. I believe she was an exciting woman. By God, he had the chance there that many men would say, boy, that's a chance of a lifetime to go with that man's wife. And what Joseph said, Joseph said to her, said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in doing this great sin, or against my master, who was her husband. And he left his robe, and he fled from her presence, and she lied on him, and he got in jail for it. He stayed true to God, though. See what happened? Praise God, he come out of jail a few years later, a wiser man and prime minister of Egypt. God had his hand upon him. Samuel, in 1 Samuel 2, the Bible said his mother took him up to Shiloh and put him in the tabernacle and dedicated him to the Lord. He never knew what it was to go out and smoke a cigarette. He didn't know what it was to sneak around and disobey his parents. He didn't know what it was to go out and have a fling with a gal. Or a boy. He'd been a girl. He was true to God. And the Bible said when he was young that God revealed himself to Samuel. How? By the word of the Lord. That's what he revealed to Timothy. The word of the Lord. I've hid your word in my heart, David said, that I won't sin against you. By the way, David was up middle age before he ever committed a sin against God. As a youth, he served the Lord. He was tempted into a sin later on in life, and he reaped it too. He reaped it. There was another fellow in the Old Testament named Isaac. He was the grandfather of Joseph, and he was Abraham's son. And his mother and daddy told him just how God wanted him to live and to nurture that faith that God was transferring from Abraham to him, that he could leave a legacy of faith all the way through the promised land to his descendants. Esau wouldn't listen. Said the first thing you got to do is keep yourself pure. You can't marry these old gals. You got to get one that believes like we do, that believes in the promise of Abraham, that believes in the blessing of Abraham, that believes in keeping the commandments of Abraham that God gave him. Old Isaac did it. He never got out in sin. He was a virtuous young man, and God provided him the wife that he desired for him to have. He didn't just marry any old gal. He listened to his father. Had daddy religion. That daddy's religion. We used to sing old song, give me that old time religion. It was good for my mama. It was good for my daddy. It was good for Paul and Silas, and it's good enough for me. Praise God. Give me that old-time religion, and you can have it from your youth up. You don't have to go out and get in a hog pen like the prodigal son and come back and be reconciled and restored. You can be the boy that stays at home, praise God, and keep yourself pure all the time and have the favor of God. God used these fellas, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it all began for that man Abraham. And God put this great eulogy in the Bible that I love it. In Genesis 18, 17 through 19, the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, and we're going to hide from him this great thing in destroying Sodom and Gomorrah and all those homosexuals and lesbians and perverts. Because he's got a nephew in his family that's living in that city that are righteous. They haven't become involved into the sins of Sodom. They live there, but they haven't become involved with their sins." He said, "I'm going to hide it from him." And he says, seeing he's going to be a mighty nation and he's going to bless all the nations of the earth. And he says this, I love this, verse 19. "For I know him," praise God, "that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." He had to command his children for that blessing to come on his descendants, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. He had to do it to bring it on himself too. If God hadn't known that man was going to command his children to keep his ways and his judgments, he would have never been the father of nations and the father of the faithful. And you won't either. You ain't never going to enjoy the great blessings of Calvary and the blessings of Abraham unless you command your children to keep the judgments and the commandments of the Lord. Your family's got to live like you live. Or you've got to try. You've got to strive. That there old Pete doodling around, God don't give you no A for that. There's a family in the Bible God destroyed because of the weakness of that father who was a preacher. That was in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter. Samuel, the little boy, innocent, dedicated to the Lord by his mother, and by his own volition, he committed himself in full dedication to the Lord. The Lord called him one night, "Samuel, Samuel." He didn't know the Lord. He run down to the other end of the tabernacle and said, "Here I am," to the Eli the priest. He said, "I didn't call you, son. Go lay back down." He went and laid again. The Lord came and stood, said, "Samuel, Samuel." He hauled breeches down there again. Said, "You surely did call me this time." "No, I didn't." And then Eli perceived it was the Lord. He said, "Son, go lay in your place. And if you hear that voice again, say, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" That was a test. That was the first test run of God. So the Lord came and stood back again the third time. He said, "Samuel, Samuel." He said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And that meant submission. I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to do whatever you tell me. He said, "Behold, I'm going to do a thing in Israel. And whichever ear that hears it shall tingle, and everyone that hears it will hiss. Because when I begin it, I will also finish it. I'm going to cut off the house of Eli." God, have mercy, what a revelation. The house of the high priest, the greatest preacher in Israel. God tells a little boy that he's raising up. My Lord, what did he tell? When he cut off Saul, or at least when Saul sinned, the thing that he told, that was told, "I'm going to raise me up a faithful high priest. I'm going to raise me up a faithful high priest." Praise God. Now, this is that faithful high priest. Samuel's in the making. And here's the house of Eli. He had sons that were preachers. And here's a little boy that's been dedicated and ordained of God to be a prophet and a priest over Israel. But he don't know all of that. But he had a mother that knew it. He had a daddy that knew it. And they were full of aware that God wanted that child to be dedicated to the Lord. And they were willing to leave him in the tabernacle that he could grow up from a child and know the ways of the Lord. And here's God beginning it, probably 10 years old.